So forgive me that I could not be here last week because I was, my voice was gone. I blame that on the devil. So I was sick most of the month, and then we had parent-teacher conferences on Thursday, so that was a 12-hour day of talking. And so Friday was rough, so I had in my mind that if I stayed quiet for two whole days, that I'd wake up Monday morning and I'd be able to speak again, and I wasn't. So I finally had to go to the doctor and get help, and he said, yeah, you should have come a while ago to get some help, and he gave me a Z-Pak, and I'm much better. And I thought, you know, that's a lot what we do with God. We try to assume that we've got everything under control and that we can fix it. And so when we should come to him for help, we wait and we put it off. And then when we finally come to him, he gives us the help that we need. I love coming here. You guys, you always want me to be the one that comes. So I feel like that I'm coming home here, and I know so many of you well, but I hope that I don't, you know, bore you with reruns. So I'm always thinking, you know, what new can I say? What different, you know, can I say? So I do have some points that I want to make today that I'm going to tell you up front, so in case I get lost in the weeds, because I make yours a little different than my kind of canned speech. Some people only hear from me every couple of years. But you guys hear from me often. So I had it on a note card, and then the devil hid that from me this morning, and I ran all around my house, couldn't find it. So now it's on my hand, because I thought, unless I have an accident on the way there, I'm not going to lose this. So I want to talk about strength in faith that comes out of fear, and I want to talk about our private prayer life, and making that more of a public prayer life, and that God doesn't waste pain, and that's what is most important, is that we share the hope that God has given. That's what makes us different, is that we have the promise of hope that other people don't have when they're in a dark place, and that's what we want to share with them. So, yeah, we are just about to vote, and my son's away at basic training, so we want to make sure that he can vote. So we made sure we got all of our ducks in a row. His absentee ballot will show up at the house, and we can take that to him when he graduates on Halloween, and he can vote, and we can bring that back with us, because it is so important that Christians are making their voice heard, because we are at a scary place in the world, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen with this election, but what we do know is that it's God's will, whether it turns out the way we like it to turn out or not the way we like it to turn out, that it is all part of God's plan, and on that we can rest. But on the issue of women's rights and of abortion and unborn children, it is very black and white, you know, what the Bible says on that. And so I'm going to share an illustration that I've shared with you many times, but there's always somebody who hasn't heard it. And for me, it takes all the gray areas completely out. If I were holding an eagle egg in my hand and I were to crush it, I would be in a lot of trouble. That's our national symbol. It's a protected bird. It's you know, it symbolizes so much. And their nest is protected. Their eggs are protected. You're not allowed to mess with them at all. You cannot have a feather. But this is not an eagle egg. This is a little guy that's about 10 or 11 weeks on his journey to meet us. And the government does not protect him at all. They would protect a bird egg before they would protect this child. So it's so important that when people are in a point of crisis where they don't know what to do, that they can hear the voice of Christians saying, God says, you know, this is life. And it's important that we are supporting our politicians who say, God said, this is life. I have one of these in my classroom because I like to muddy the waters a little bit about what I can and cannot say to my fourth graders and sixth graders that I've had over the years. You know, so when they ask me questions, I answer their questions. And so this is in my room all the time over on the ledge with all of our other little nature things, because it does start conversations. Kids pick it up and they go, what is this? Why is this in here? And I say, that's what you looked like at week 10. Now you have to stay in the oven for 40 weeks. You have to stay in there a long time. But at week 10, that's what you already look like. And so for those 12 years to hold that and to have that planted in their head, those are the kinds of things that change their heart. Because if we try to argue and reason with people and emotions get high, when we argue with people, we usually don't change people's mind. What we change is people's heart, because this really is an issue of the heart. So the little card that comes with this guy that has a real photograph of a baby at this age says, at 11 to 12 weeks, the unborn child is already more than 2 inches long. His heart has been beating since 25 days. Brain waves can be read since 43 days. All body organs are present and working. The rapidly developing child is becoming extremely sensitive to sound, pressure, heat, light, and pain. All that is needed now is nourishment and time to grow. So that is amazing to think about. And something that that is also on our mind at Heartbeat is that some of the clients that come to us are pregnant, but for some of them, this has not been their first time they've been pregnant. For some of them are post-abortion moms. They've been through this the last time that they were pregnant. There wasn't somebody that pointed their direction to Heartbeat, or they didn't feel that at that time that they could raise this child for some reason. And some of them have made that choice for abortion. And now that they're pregnant the second time, or maybe now that they're trying to get pregnant and struggling, now they're grieving that loss. The weight of what they've been through is now weighing on them. And it's important that as we are speaking to people about these children, that we do remember the pain of people that are now in remorse and are now repenting from what they've been through. So Heartbeat does not itself in Morrow County have, you know, counseling for post-abortion moms, but we do have several agencies that we work with and that we can hook them up with. So if someone does come in that situation and they're like, you know, at this point in my life, I was between a rock and a hard place and I didn't know what else to do. And these are the people that I asked and this is what they told me. And now I know that was a lie. And now my child is gone and now I'm heartbroken. And so it's important that we recognize that they need to heal from that. And thankfully, there are a lot of people that are involved in that. One of them actually is a Northmore grad that just popped up one Sunday, and she just came up and she said, "Hey, I heard you with Heartbeat. This is the agency I'm with." And I was amazed to hear her story and to hear what they're doing, because we need to not forget that there are a lot of people that are living with that pain. And God doesn't waste pain. We've all been through some hard times in our life. Sometimes, you know, we're down, and sometimes we don't think to look up until we're all the way down. And God does not waste that pain. When I was at the hardest time in my life, somebody said that to me, and that was the most helpful thing. So when you meet people that are in pain, like all the people that are affected by the floods and what's happening with the hurricanes now, as horrible as that is, and if you're on Facebook and you see these images that rip your heart out, and I've been following the stories of two people that have been lost, and one has been found and one has not. And as we think of their pain, we have to remember that God doesn't waste pain, that God knows where those people are. God sees those people, and whether they're found alive or whether they're not, God doesn't make those things happen. He's not causing these disasters. He's not causing these pregnancies that weren't expected or that are troubling. But that is part of life, and that He knows that's going to happen, because as the verses up there said, all of our days were written before one of them came to be. So if there were people that were lost in the flood, we know that was their day. That was already written. And so it's not for us to decide and fret over and what if, and if we could have only, and to carry that guilt around, but to remember that God has a plan. We don't understand it, but he does not waste pain. So what can we learn from this? What are we supposed to do with this pain? How can we make a difference? How can we make things better? And one of the things that we already see with the hurricane and everything is the helpers flooding in. There was a flood of water, and now there's a flood of helpers trying to help these people out of that situation. And that's what you're doing at Heartbeat, with the money that you guys have donated and that was just handed in that check. That is a flood of help that is going, to these moms that often are caught, in a lot of pain and are fearful, right now. Some of them don't know where else to turn. There's a lot of different agencies that can give them the food and can give them the formula and can help them, you know, with their food stamps and things like that, government agencies that can do that. But they're not going to be there to sit down and hold their hand and to pray with them and to talk with them and to hear their situation about their car and their rent and their landlord or having to live, you know, in an environment that's not healthy for their child. To sit down and talk those things through and to read Bible verses with them and to pray through those things. And that's how Heartbeat is different than those other agencies. We make sure that as soon as they come in, that they're aware that they are in the house of God. It's not church, but it's house of God. And I was helping a client one time as she was getting some things for her little ones, and it was the first time she'd been at Heartbeat, and she's picking out some clothes out of we have the boutique that has the newer things, but then we also have the tubs of used things, and that's what she was going through. She hadn't earned any baby bucks yet, so she was going through all these used things, getting clothes for her little ones, and her phone rang, and I could overhear her talking to the people, and she said, "Oh, no, I don't know exactly where I am. I'm at a church." And I thought, "No, but yes. No, but yes." So the important message that she got is, I'm somewhere that people of God are helping. And that's the message that we want to send. Because, you know, anybody can help you with clothes and food. But what's going to help you in life is to give you that hope. And a lot of them, that's what they're looking for. They come from a lot of different walks of life and a lot of situations. But sometimes it's not until people get really scared that they look to God. So I'd like to share the story of Rahab here. I don't know if I've shared this one before. Sometimes I just like to do things for shock value. And, you know, that works with my sixth graders. If you can make the lesson about poop or puke or boogers, they're in, you know, that shock value that sucks them right in. Well, a lot of people don't realize that there's prostitutes in the Bible. And they're like, what? This is not a dusty old document that doesn't apply today. And all the horrible things that are happening today, horrible things like that have happened for years. What we're dealing with now, the sins of today are not that much different than the sins of the past. If you just look. So this is not a dusty old document that we get to dust off and see what happened long, long ago. But this is still true stuff that's happening today. So when we get a chance to talk to our clients that come in a lot and we get to build those relationships and we feel comfortable talking to them and sharing some stories, the story of Rahab is a good one because she's one of the bad girls of the Bible, and there were others. But, you know, she was running a house of ladies, and people were coming and going. So you can kind of read between the lines, so I don't have to use too many racy words in church. But she was a bad girl of the Bible. But when the spies came into her area, God sent them there to hide. Great place to hide because secrets are being told and secrets are being shared and lots of people are going in and out. So if you see strangers coming in and out of this house, it's not going to raise an eyebrow because, yeah, that always happens over there. So it wouldn't raise suspicion. Now, they were men of God, so they weren't going to go in where, you know, where sins were taking place. They did go to Rahab's house, but they hid up on the roof, and she came to them. And this is what she says in Joshua, in the second chapter of Joshua. verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came to Egypt, and what you did to Shinar and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. And there's her confession of faith. So there weren't missionaries there speaking to these ladies. It was out of pure fear. They've seen these people of God coming and just destroying and annihilating everything, like a hurricane, like a flood, like a pregnancy that puts you between a rock and a hard place, like everybody leaving you and you're in the dark and you don't know what else to do. Out of pure fear, this is her confession of faith. And for a lot of people, that's where they are. And then she says to them, she doesn't pray for herself. She doesn't ask for herself to be protected. She's praying for her family. And that's where some of these clients are when they come in. They feel that they're beyond saving, that their life is already awash, that they've come from a bad situation, and that they don't have value. But now they're in charge of somebody else, and that is extremely frightening, and they want something different for them. And so they come praying for their children. And that's what Rahab is doing here. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and save us from death. So she's most worried about her family, and it was fear that got her there. And so when we see horrible things and scary things and we hear terrible stories and we can't believe, some people say, why did God let that happen? That God doesn't let these things happen. That God didn't abandon you and forget about you and let you get into this situation. Life happened because the devil is real. And the devil is working, and he is trying to pull people away. And he is throwing stumbling blocks in everyone's way, in Christians' way, and in the way of people that are trying to come to Christ. And the people that are lost, he's trying to shove them more farther lost. That's why bad things happen. And God doesn't make those things happen, but he knows that they're going to happen. And he's going to try everything to use those to bring you back to him. So I'm going to try to get through this next part without crying. I wouldn't share this at every church, but you guys know me and you know my family. And you know my son, Garrett. If you know Garrett, he is as ornery as they come. So though some of you are laughing because you know Garrett, he can be pretty rotten. He's my baby and he's my ornery one, and he's at basic training right now. So, before he left, our last, you know, meal that we had there at the house, it's just his dad and I and him. And so I had, you know, made sure I'm not always super organized. So we don't always eat at the table, and it's not always good food, but we made a good meal and we're sitting down at the table, and he's sitting there and he's like, Mom, sit down. Mom, hurry up. What are you doing? Sit down. I want to pray over our food. And even though I was, you know, raised in the church and I pray all the time, I pray in my car on the way to school with my eyes open. But every day that is my prayer time. It's sometimes hard to pray publicly with other people. I mean, we do it at church. This is like a comfort zone. But just out in life, when we tell people, I'm praying for you, we don't always just hug them and then pray right there. And so that's something I've worked on trying to do. But for some reason, it's not something I've done with my family. And he said, sit down. I want to pray before we eat. And I was like, whoa. You know, and a child will lead you. Why haven't I done that before we eat? I've always been a Christian, but we don't pray before we eat. But it's something that was important for him to do. And I realized he's scared. He's about to go through a big change. And he's a little afraid. He got baptized. He was dedicated at a Methodist church when he was little. He sprinkled, you know, all of our kids were. But as they've gotten older, they've all decided to do the full immersion. Not that God didn't do it right the first time when he was sprinkled, but because it's a personal, you know, they're making a commitment. And that's something that none of them have done until recently within this last year. And so the Sunday before he left, he was baptized and is really, you know, trying to work on his relationship with God as he ventures off to what is the unknown for him. So we prayed over our food, and I couldn't have been, you know, happier about that. And then when we got our letters from him, we got a couple of letters, and he said the first Sunday he did not go to church because day zero or week zero, they get a lot of stuff. He was overwhelmed getting all of his ducks in a row, and he didn't go. There was a lot to study. But the second week he went, and he found it very emotional. And then the next letter said that it was wonderful and that it's helping things to go faster, because before he went to church, chow to chow, you look forward to the next meal, and that makes the day go faster. And he said, now it's week to week. I'm looking forward to church. I want to go back to church. I love church. And the letter that we got on Friday said that he started a prayer group at his cot, and 15 guys came and joined him and prayed, and that they're going to take turns and they're going to rotate, and somebody else is going to pray. And I just cried because I thought, how amazing. You know, that's not something that I've done, right? Because I didn't sit and pray with my kid. I've not, other than sitting there, you know, at church and things, I haven't sat and prayed with my child. But he saw the need to do that with others, because many of them are, they're alone and they're scared. And so it's challenging me to make sure that I try to make that my personal private prayers with God more that something that I share with others, that not just telling people I'm praying for you, but, you know, on Facebook, when you're scrolling and someone has something and you say, you're in my prayers, but to say, I just stopped scrolling and I just prayed for you right now. Or to send them a message that is your prayer. Type out your prayer as you're praying it. You know, send them a message. This was my prayer for you. When you see them, say, hey, you are still in my prayers. And just to know that you're covered in prayer is huge. We do have a prayer list at Heartbeat. Because not all of our clients are as vocal as some of us. Some of us could talk to a post. That's me. You know, and so we always pray with our clients if there is something that is on their heart. So we try to make sure that we do that's one of our things. There's always two volunteers there. So hopefully one of them is more comfortable doing that than the other. So before they leave, we're adamant, make sure that you ask for prayer. And nobody ever says, no, I'm good. I don't have any. We're awesome. The whole reason their Heartbeat is because everything isn't good. They're in a struggle. And so it's important that we pray with them and that we find out what's going on in their life and to make sure that they know that they are covered in prayer. And we've had families of clients call. We get there and there's a message on our answering machine, because we're there on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 3 and then Tuesday nights from 6 to 8. But the answering machine is there all the time, and the hotline number is open all the time. And so some people call the hotline or some people call the answering machine because they do have a prayer request. Sometimes the families are like, hey, this is going on with my daughter. I know she's your client, you know, and I'd like some prayer. We had a message just the other day that was very much like that. Someone saying, my daughter hasn't been in to see you for a while, but can you pray for her? And that is an amazing thing that we get to do. Make sure I don't got hope. Hope is what we're trying to give them, and a lot of them can't see the way out of their current situation. Many of our clients live in out at Hidden Lakes, and I'm sure you're familiar with the situations out there. If you're not, it is a campground that was never intended to be a year-round living. It's a campground. And unfortunately, there's some people that are in situations where they didn't have the money when it was time to leave for that end of the summer. They didn't have the money or the place to go somewhere else. So there are people living there with babies, with children, year-round in buildings or in campers that were not designed for winter. So there's not running water. There's, you know, that there's basic, you know, they're very basic living. And one of our clients that was living there stopped by, and I think it was after I talked to you last time. I don't think I've told you about her because it's been almost a year ago now. That she stopped by and she said, "I wanted to let you know that we're leaving. So you won't see me anymore. We're going, you know, back into Richland County." And we looked to see where in Richland County she can get some help as well. She can always come back to Heartbeat if she can get the ride. It doesn't matter where they're coming. If they can get to us, we will help them. If they can't get to us and they have a need and they have asked, we will get what they need to them. We have made deliveries. But we looked and gave her places to look for help and for prayer in Richland County. But their situation had gotten a little scary at where they were living there at Hidden Lakes. And they didn't feel that their children were safe there. And they really wanted out. And finally, a door had opened for them to go back to a place that they had lived before. And she said, we just came to say goodbye and to say thank you before we left because, you know, we had kind of become part of their support system and they were leaving us. And we were so happy for them. And we all went out to the car and said bye to the kids that we're not going to see and prayed over them before they left. And those are the happy stories like that. We had another client who, she had a disability. It was not easy for her to walk, but she was working and she said that her husband, wanted to move and he wanted to move, you know, closer to Columbus. And they were listing their pros and cons. And she said, "We're not moving." And she said the straw that broke the camel's back was Heartbeat. She said, I don't want to leave Heartbeat. She said, without Heartbeat here to help us with the diapers, to help us with things like the pack and plays and the strollers and the baby beds when we needed them and the clothes and the shoes and the coats for the kids. She said, without Heartbeat, then we couldn't make it. She said, I don't want to go on full disability. I want to work. But with my disability, there are only so many places I can work. I can't make enough money to buy these things for my kids. But I want to keep working, and that's what we can do here because we have you. And if we go somewhere else, I might lose that, and I don't want to lose that. And so it just is heartwarming to see how important Heartbeat is and all of what you are donating and supporting with your prayer, that what it is doing for the people of this community. We have one of our local ladies that comes a lot. She comes on foot. She walks there a lot. Her kids are getting a little bit older, and our clothes are not necessarily, you know, things that are going to be fitting her kids for very much longer. She doesn't have any in diapers anymore, and as her kids get older, she said, "You know, I don't want to stop coming here. I don't need the baby clothes, but I don't want to stop coming here." And we're like, "You can keep coming here. You can keep coming here." But if we can get her plugged in with the church as well, that family of belongingness that she's feeling at Heartbeat. We're trying to get our clients to understand that they can feel that at church too, because especially on election years, when they hear people yelling at each other about babies and about rights and things, they get in their mind, they get a picture of what a Christian might be, of a very judgmental, finger-pointing kind of a society. And that's not what we are. Not what we are at all. And so we're trying very hard to help them to understand that, so that even when they don't have little ones and a need for Heartbeat, that they still can get help in our community with their emotional and their Christian needs as they raise their kids. So this mom, the last lesson that she did to earn some baby bucks, and she doesn't really need so many of the baby bucks anymore, but she still needs the lessons. We send these lessons out to them, and they watch them, and they take the little quizzes, and then they get baby bucks. So we all like to earn things, and it feels good. So it's building their self-esteem and their learning. And we have so many lessons, and they all have a little devotion attached to them. And in the last count, there were 110 lessons in September that were completed by our clients. So 110 times somebody did a lesson, learned from it, responded to it, and earned either baby bucks they can use or share with other people. But the one that she's been using since her kids are older that she found really helpful was how to talk so your kids will listen and how to listen so your kids will talk. And I'm like, yeah, that's a timeless one there. I mean, that's for when your kids are older or young. So even though her kids are getting older, she's still finding it helpful. And so we just want to thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts for all that you are doing for these clients to make sure that they don't feel judged and they don't feel that they are, you know, ostracized from church because of their past experiences, but that you recognize that they've been in hard situations, that maybe their low self-esteem led them to be used by people that then they end up alone with a child and no support. Or maybe they come from a family that's not a Christian family that doesn't have that unconditional love, and they've been pushed out. And for them to hear that the people that are Christians in Morrow County have a heart for them and a heart for their children and a heart for their situation, and that we want to do something to help, has been huge. So since 1984 in Tammy Brown's kitchen, when this started, until now, having our own building where we can knock down walls and paint, God has blessed what is happening at Heartbeat, and you are part of that blessing. And I just thank you for letting me share with you about what you're doing. And if anybody ever wants to see what goes on there, all of the volunteers have keys, and you know, I'd love to, you know, let you in there if you've got a Wednesday night prayer group or something that wants to meet there, if you want to see it on a Saturday morning and you just want to see what goes on and how it all happens, I'd love to let you in. We've had groups that just come in and they want a tour, and then they just want to pray over everything, and that's nice, especially our blanket room. We say if you're going to, you know, that a lot of people like to pray in the room that has a lot of blankets in it, and to let those moms know that these blankets that you're wrapping your kids in, they're wrapped in prayer because these have been prayed over, whether they were quilted or hand-knitted or whether they were tied together. As people were doing it, you were on their mind, and now they've been prayed over as you wrap your kids in them. So you're doing a great thing, and we thank you so much for the message you're sending about how important life is to the people of Morrow County.